Ever wonder how Macomb County became known as the home of the Reagan Democrat?
The reason Macomb County came to be known as the home of the Reagan Democrats, and the reason we came to know the term Reagan Democrats, has to do with a pollster named Stanley Greenberg.
Not a politician, not a journalist, a pollster. And he focused on Michigan. Today, we're going to talk about our state's role in crafting these unique, amorphous, and consequential voting blocks. Reagan Democrats, and now, as Stanley Greenberg says, Biden Republicans. This is Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Baer. In 1980, Ronald Reagan was a slick and smiling, famous actor, a polished politician from sunny California.
A lot of people think they're born better than others. I'm trying to prove it's the way you're raised that counts. But even a monkey brought up in the right surroundings can learn the meaning of decency and honesty.
So what was he doing at a backyard barbecue, beer in hand, flipping kielbasa on the grill in his civilian clothing, in a post-war, white working-class neighborhood in Macomb County?
Macomb County in 1960 was the most democratic suburban county in the United States of America.
Zach Stanton is digital editor of Politico, and he recently wrote an article titled The Rise of the Biden Republicans.
And by 1980, by the election of Ronald Reagan, it had flipped totally in the opposite direction. You had huge support for Reagan in both 80 and 84. And Democrats at the state level and the local level were kind of confused as to why these voters who traditionally had voted for Democrats had really gone in the opposite direction and started voting for Republicans even while thinking of themselves as Democrats. So they brought in Stanley Greenberg, who at the time was a pollster based out of Yale University, who was mostly known for his work studying and polling issues related to apartheid in South Africa. And he said from that experience, which required him to sort of approach people non-judgmentally in order to get them to speak candidly and to really reveal what they're thinking, he used that same approach to talk to voters in Macomb County and to really get to like what was behind their support of Ronald Reagan and their support of increasingly Republican candidates. And basically what he discovered over a series of focus groups was that there were these suburban voters who, again, thought of themselves as Democrats, historically had been Democrats, but increasingly saw the party as not speaking to their needs. And that took a couple of different forms, one of which was, you know, they saw the party as interested in appealing to Black and Latino voters, but especially Black voters in Detroit rather than in Macomb County, white voters in Macomb County. They saw the party as increasingly interested in cultural elites and in what academics had to say. And they felt that its focus on quote-unquote social issues was detracting from issues like how to pay their mortgages or their healthcare premiums. And basically, Greenberg's insight ended up really transforming American politics ever since.
So tell us about how presidential interest in Macomb County played out on the campaign trail over the years.
You have to go back even before Reagan to think about this Reagan-Democrat dynamic. You know, the Reagan-Democrat dynamic, it had already been in place for several election cycles by the time Reagan came along. You saw in 1972, Richard Nixon, one of his first campaign stops after the convention that year, was to Macomb County, was, I believe, to Shelby Township, where he christened Eisenhower High School and where he made a very vocal stand against cross-district busing, which was a huge issue in the Detroit suburbs in particular in the early 70s. By the 80s, you have Reagan coming to Macomb County. You see him coming to the community college in 1988 and giving one of the famous lines of his presidency, which is that, you know, he is a former Democrat and he feels that he didn't leave his party left him.
The fact is, a lot of Democrats around the country are saying that their party leadership has swung so far to the left, so far out of the mainstream, that the national Democratic leadership has lost touch with the rank and file of the Democratic Party. Now, I'm a former Democrat, and I have to say I didn't leave my party. My party left me.
And George W. Bush in 2000, running as a compassionate conservative, going to Romeo, Michigan, and speaking to people there. You have Al Gore in 2000. One of his first major campaign stops is he embeds basically as a sixth grader for a day in Lance Cruz School District in Harrison Township. You know, the New York Times even wrote about what he was eating in the cafeteria, referring to him like wolfing down several slices of pie, a brownie, and two cookies. You have Michael Dukakis in one of the most famous and terrible photo ops in the history of modern politics, you know, getting in an army tank in Sterling Heights and riding around, and it became this defining visual image of his campaign that really backfired spectacularly. You have Barack Obama coming to Macomb County to announce this major plan that he had to invest in community colleges across the country.
We're going to invest in America's long-term competitiveness by putting a college degree within reach of all Americans and by helping community colleges like Macomb develop associate degree programs in things like green technology.
You had Hillary Clinton give her major economic speech of the 2016 campaign in Macomb County. Donald Trump comes to Macomb County multiple times to inveigh against NAFTA, and his first major stop after signing the USMCA was in Warren, Michigan.
And I ended the NAFTA nightmare and took the toughest ever action against China and ended the long nightmare of American economic surrender. Now we have the USMCA, which is great for you, and your companies won't be leaving.
So it continues to play this central role in the way that politicians, national politicians in particular, think about politics, and also the way that politics is covered.
Jumping forward to today, Greenberg says that Trump spent so much time focusing on what those Reagan Democrats might want that he lost what would become ostensibly Biden Republicans. Can you talk more about the former president's attraction to those voters that he overemphasized?
Part of the appeal to Reagan Democrats over the years, and Reagan Democrats being white, blue-collar voters, largely suburban, who may be economically liberal but are socially relatively conservative, it's impossible to fully separate their politics out from this element of racial resentment. And that has taken many forms over the years, whether it's in the particular tone of the city versus suburb discussion in a lot of Detroit area politics, or whether it's in more sort of identity-based issues in the sense that, you know, the country is changing and my status is dropping and I need to do something to save it. And that sort of identity-based politics, the sort of white grievance-based politics, was something Trump was exceptionally good at fanning the flames of. And what he did, ultimately, though, was really sped up a process that had also been going on for several decades, which is there were a number of white suburbanites, and here you can see it in places like Oakland County, who are highly educated, who don't have the same sort of love of grievance politics, who maybe value diversity, and who don't see the Republican Party, which is seemingly increasingly focused on social issues and on identity politics, as really having their interests at heart. It's sort of the mirror image of what we saw with the rise of the Reagan Democrats, are these quote-unquote Biden Republicans. And you see in Oakland County in particular, this real increase in the vote for Democrats over the years. It used to be sort of a solidly red Republican stronghold top to bottom in the county, and now it's really not. And that's driven in part by these voters who for a long time thought of themselves as Republicans, who just don't see themselves as fitting into the party anymore. It's much like Reagan said with the Democratic Party, that he didn't leave the party left him. And that's the same sensation that a lot of the Biden Republicans have about the GOP.
We've got to take a quick break. We'll continue my conversation with Zach Stanton from Politico in just a minute. Be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
So Reagan Democrats have had this sort of headquarters, if you will, in Macomb County, but Greenberg didn't get into specifically where Biden Republicans mm-hmm. might find a home in Michigan. But you're from here. You're from Macomb County,
yeah, I am.
I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
So where on the map in Michigan do you see the clearest example of Biden Republicans who shifted this election into the Democratic column?
So I think you can see it in a couple places. I think you can see it in places like Lenawee. I think you can see it in Livingston County in particular. Livingston County, you know, has been a Republican stronghold for a very long time and had a much higher Democratic vote this past cycle than it has prior. But you also see it in the sort of long-term trend that you have going on in places, again, like Oakland County. And Oakland County is actually interesting to bring up in this sense in that Stanley Greenberg, you know, though the term Biden Republican certainly didn't exist at this point, it was, I want to say in 2012, wrote a piece for, I believe, the New York Times, in which he said that, you know, we are increasingly seeing an era in which Macomb County may not be as relevant to the national understanding of how politics is playing out as Oakland County is. And with Oakland County, you see this incredible growth that you've had over the last number of years where, you know, in 1992, you know, Bill Clinton got 38% of the vote in Oakland, I believe. And in 2020, Joe Biden got 56% of the vote. You know, it's, you have a real tidal shift that's going on there. You still have Republicans performing well in Oakland in certain races. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, Rick Snyder was getting 55, 60% of the vote in Oakland County.
Right.
But, you know, you have Snyder got, I think, 60% in Oakland County in 2010. But by 2018, Gretchen Whitmer got 57, I want to say, from Oakland County. So it's not to say that the elections are fully decided, but you really see this shift with the Biden Republicans happening in places like Oakland County. Oakland's a very pronounced example of it, but it's happening in places like Livingston. It's happening up in the Traverse City area as well.
Greenberg talks a lot about Democrats losing a lot before Bill Clinton, who came along and reformed the party, and that Republicans, too, will probably have to lose a few more times before being able to shake Trump loose. So can center-leaning Republicans like Fred Upton or Peter Meyer win in this atmosphere? Is there a place for them in this current iteration of the party?
You know, I think there is in those particular instances. The question is whether someone like Fred Upton, who has been around for quite some time at this point and really has his own identity independent of the National Republican Party, whether or not there can be sort of new Fred Uptons. And that's a more complicated question, because what you've had at the same time as you've had these shifts going on in the party is you've had, you know, local media really disappearing in a lot of places. And if local media disappears, it decreases the ability of local politicians to have their own identity independent of what the national image of the party is. If national media and national coverage is all people have of politics and they aren't getting it filtered through the local lens, then local politicians really just become vessels for voters' impressions of the party at a national level. And that is a challenge for Republicans. It's a challenge for Democrats as well. You know, this has been, you know, something you've seen with a number of very smart political observers saying things like defund the police really hurt Democrats. But of course, you know, part of that is also that Biden didn't run on defund the police. So why do people associate that with Democrats? And in part, it's because when you do have vocal supporters like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez supporting and speaking out on issues like that, you know, that gets a lot of national coverage. And lacking local coverage of politics, you know, it is difficult for local politicians to have an identity separate from that national image. So it's going to take a number of cycles, certainly, before Republicans are able to shake off Trump. They may not even do it then. It may be the type of thing that, as a result of both gerrymandering and just the structure of things like the U.S. Senate, they may not have to shake off Donald Trump. They may be able to have a foothold in power. But there is this reality Republicans face that Democrats have won the popular vote all but once in every presidential election in the last 30 years. And at some point, if Republicans want to compete as a national party, they're going to have to figure out how to get more centrist voters, and especially some of the Biden Republicans, to come back in the tent.
Yeah, there's this interesting moment in your article where Stanley Greenberg basically says, you know, regardless of what the party wants to do with Trump, Trump won't let go of the party until he's dead, essentially, that he's going to spend the rest of his life feeling committed to wanting to be the center of attention for the party. And so that presents the party with its own conundrum of whether or not they're going to reject that sentiment based on outcomes in elections.
Totally. It's become a litmus test, more important than any other issue for a lot of Republicans, is what they think of Donald Trump. I mean, someone like Peter Meyer, whom you mentioned, you know, he is a solidly conservative, consistently conservative Republican who by any measure should comfortably fit within the Republican Party. And yet simply because he voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump over the insurrection, you're having him essentially be persona non grata. You've had President Trump effectively call for someone to run against him in a primary, and you have this very real possibility that he, as a first term congressman, you know, could face a loss in the next Republican primary up in 2022, and that is purely because Donald Trump has become the sort of be-all, end-all, the litmus test for a lot of Republicans.
Zach Stanton is digital editor with Politico, and he recently published an article, The Rise of the Biden Republicans, and you can read it at politico.com. Zach, thank you so much.
Thanks.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm Laura Weber Davis. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Today's show was produced by Mercedes Mejia. Our theme music is by 14KT, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks so much for listening. See you tomorrow.